This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the Hatch Wines. You're going to want to check out the brand new release of the Screaming Frenzy Cab Franc and the new vintage of Black Swift Oak Street Chardonnay, just won a gold medal. And they have just released a new vintage of Cyclops Love, of which they're just a little obsessive. TheHatchWines.com. And welcome to Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. It's not just another show today, or this week for that matter. We have lost one of the greats of Canadian wine, and certainly one of the leaders in the BC wine industry. Harry McWaters died at the age of a very young 74 in his sleep in Summerland. Harry had 50 vintages under his considerable belt. That's how long he'd been in and around the business. In 1980, he started Sumac Ridge, BC's first estate winery. In 87, he made that first Stellar's Jay sparkling wine, first of its kind, started the Okanagan Wine Festival, and coined the term and created the group that made a Meritage blend. He'll tell the story of the long and hard fight that went on to get that word just used on the label. In 1990, he was the founding chair of the BC Wine Institute. He became the founding chair of VQA Canada, the founding chair of BC Hospitality Foundation, was a director of the BC Vintners Association, was entered into the Order of BC, the BC Restaurant Hall of Fame, and many more awards. Currently, you can buy and keep and contain his wines Encore, McWaters, and Time. And of course, Time Winery and Kitchen is downtown in the old theater in Penticton. I've had many conversations with Harry McWaters over the years, and I've tried to take the best of what I heard in each of them. So I may lose the timeline along the way, because the very first interview is the first one I'm going to play for you. From 2007, I had just started Tasting Room Radio, and one of my first very important interviews was with Harry McWaters just after he had won numerous awards at the 2007 Okanagan Wine Festival. This is our salute to one of the great founders of the Canadian wine industry, Harry McWaters.
This is Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
Welcome back to the second hour of the Tasting Room. My name is Terry David Mulligan. We are coming to you from the awards luncheon. Took place Friday at Penticton's Trade and Convention Center. The awards are finally done. I have Harry McWaters with me, who of course is the proprietaire and the president and the guy behind Sumac Ridge and See You Later Ranch, which they both did very well, didn't they?
We did very, very well. I actually haven't added up the awards, but...
You've been doing this long enough now. I kind of wonder what the awards mean to you.
You know, how do your wines shape up against the rest of your peers?
Yeah.
From a winemaking team, it's a great opportunity for them to kind of benchmark how are they comparing to the rest, number one. And, you know, sometimes the number of awards aren't the most important thing. As you can appreciate, some of the small wineries that are out there only enter two or three wines.
Yeah.
Some of us that are a little larger enter a greater number, and so we have a greater opportunity to win more awards. But, you know, when you start bringing home a basket of gold and silver, you know, that's very rewarding that you've got a panel of judges that are considered experts that have judged the wines against the others and lined, and they fared very well. The reality is some of our challenges are not actually having enough of some of these wines to fill the marketplace right now, but we're gradually working our way through the short crop of 04 and 05. So, you know, the whites that we won awards for today are almost exclusively from the 06 vintage. So we have some inventory for a change.
How was 06 compared to what we're having
for vintage? You know, that we haven't had a really challenging vintage since the year 1999 in some cases, the 96. So, you know, since the year 2000, you know, we've had variation from one vintage to another. What we've had are challenges on the amount of crop,
right,
not the quality of crop. You know, that hearing comments from some of the judges and that they don't believe that they were over generous. They think they were pretty frugal with medals, and I think that just speaks volumes that these wines are continuing to win awards, not only here and nationally, but I, you know, as you know, I judge a number of international competition. When British Columbia wines are in the flights, I'm very, very proud, regardless of whose label they are, that Okanagan Valley wines fare extremely well at places like the Los Angeles International Wine Competition, the Pacific Rim International Competition. Next month I'm judging the Pacific Northwest, and I'm really confident about the wines from this region going there and making people realize that we may be small, but we're a force to be reckoned with as far as the quality of wines in the world.
We may be small, but we're really good in the corners.
Yeah, well, and some of us aren't quite as small as others, but the industry is pretty tiny.
Harry McWaters, Sumac Ridge, and see you later. Now, you've been watching this grow. You've had a ringside seat, and you've helped make this grow.
Is that a way of saying I'm older than most?
I suppose so, if you wanted to put it in those particular words.
This is my 40th vintage in the business.
Yes.
And you know what? They just get better and better and better. Every vintage that I can celebrate in the future, I'm looking forward to. And hopefully I've got enough energy to hold the glass.
The only guy I know that counts his rings for each year. These awards here tell you that, again, you're on the right track, that people like what you do.
Yeah, and you know what? What's really important here is if you look at the number of awards that went to the number of wineries, that the rising tide is lifting an awful lot of ships.
Harry McWaters, Sumac Ridge, and see you later. You know, I know that when you set out, you may have wanted to be a world beater, but you could never have imagined how large this has become.
No, you know, you have to readjust your goalposts all the time. The reality is that I had a dream for what we could do as a winery. I had a dream for what we could do as an industry. As the founding chairman of this wine festival, that I had great expectations. Well, you know what, we blew past those expectations so many years ago that every year we've had to reassess where those goalposts are. When we started this wine festival, 7 wineries participated.
Seven. And that this year, did you see a head count?
I can't count that high.
We're on the right track. Okay, that's good.
We're on the right track. Things are looking very good, and I just see a brighter and brighter future for the industry.
And how do we do it better?
Keep pushing the envelope. Strive for pushing the envelope on new varieties, new qualities, flavor, and hopefully the customers continue to support us so we can do all those things.
Can we make more?
Yes, we can make
more. It's not just BC and Alberta that's drinking our wine?
Yeah, no. Well, you know what? I don't care who drinks it as long as we're doing the best we can.
You don't care if Eastern Canada?
Well, you know what? They can come here and buy them and take them home.
Well, can you sell in the States? Have you got enough to sell?
We've actually pulled out of the States. We sold 1,000 cases of wine from our winery last year in Washington State, and we've had to pull out because we couldn't supply. 2 years ago, we sold 11,000 cases in Ontario and Quebec. We can't supply it. Now, we've grown, but our consumers are at our door, and you know what? We've got to take care of the people in our backyard first.
Harry McWaters, Sumac Ridge, and see you later. Who catches your eye on this list of wineries? Some of these wineries we're seeing for the first time. Who?
Well, I'll tell you this. Some bright lights there that I saw from some of the smaller wineries at Golden Mile. I have a huge regard for Michael Barthé and his ability to make wine. Township 7, I think I've heard certainly in the gold and silver category is under new ownership, and that's really good that we see some that have been around for a while but are small family operations like Wild Goose, you know, and I'm going to miss a whole bunch, but those just off the top of my head, there's 3 family-operated businesses, small wineries that I think are just doing a phenomenal job, and for those of us that are a little larger in scope, we really need those others with that passion to help grow the image and awareness of what's happening in the British Columbia wine industry.
And, of course, we, the consumer, who I like to think I represent in some
Me
small
too.
way.
Me too. I'm a fairly aggressive consumer.
Yes, you are. I'm waiting for that wine store to open. They vote with their wallets, hard-earned dough.
They sure do. And it's, you know what we have to always be conscious of is that don't let our success go to our head. It's really about making sure we can deliver not only the right amount of wine, we have to continue to push ourselves to deliver value at every price point.
Did I ask you, when you were on the show and you kindly stayed for the whole 2 hours and brought your Stellar's Jay with you, God bless you.
I brought some today too. You might have missed out on it.
Yeah, I did, yeah. What would you say to all of those wineries who don't submit their wines for tasting and don't take part in this?
I think they're missing out on something. I really do. It's about individual choices. And, you know, I think those that do understand the value and those that don't just don't yet understand the value.
Harry McWaters, who is Sumac Ridge, and see you later. Congratulations on all your wins today.
Thank you, Terry, very much. Good luck with your show. I'm getting really good comments and feedback back from what you're doing.
Thank you.
Keep it up.
Thank you. This is The Tasting Room. My name is Terry David Mulligan.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch Wines. Three very special wines you want to keep an eye on. Their great new Cab Franc, the Black Swift Vineyards 2016 Oak Street Chardonnay, winner of a gold medal at the All-Canadian Wine Championships, and gobsmacked the 2018 Cyclops Love. All the details at thehatchwines.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Just a reminder that the Cowichan Valley Festival runs August 23rd through 25 and kicks off with a party at the pavilion at Shawnigan Lake. There'll be live music all weekend at Unsworth Vineyards and a long table winemaker's dinner in the winery August 25th. A 5-course menu paired with specially selected wines. Your host for the evening is winemaker Dan Wright. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. We are remembering Harry McWaters. Through his own words, there's at least another dozen interviews that are hidden away somewhere in somebody else's mainframe. But I held on to these ones. We lost Harry McWaters this week, 74 years young. A builder, a true builder who gave everything he had to the industry and to British Columbia and the country that he loved. 6 years after the last interview, Harry and I hooked up when he was pouring his new wines at Bricks in downtown Vancouver. And then we go to an interview from May 21st, 2012. And we're talking about how he helped to build this industry personally by heading for Fort Barron's in Lillooet, where no one outside of a small group of people knew that you could grow wine there. But Harry knew because he'd done his soil checking and he'd kicked the dirt. He'd walked around and said, yeah, we can do this here. So Harry McWaters from a couple of years ago.
Here's Harry McWaters, and he is a welcome guest on Tasting Room Radio. This show started its life 6 years ago in the Okanagan. Harry McWaters calls the Okanagan his backyard. Welcome back to the show. As part of the Time Estate Winery story, you talk about a moment when you bought a piece of land and a certain stretch of road. Where was the piece of land? Why did you buy it? And at what cost?
Okay, the stretch of land is on the Black Sage Road. In fact, the vineyard was originally called the Black Sage Vineyard when we planted it. Why there? Well, it's a very unique piece of real estate. We get more light intensity than any viticultural region in the world. We get more heat units than places like Napa or Sonoma. We get more hours of sunlight than any place in North America. And we're in a rain shadow. So this vineyard has a history of the average rainfall over the last 30 years is less than 6 inches per annum. So when we get all of those things combined, it really is a very magical place. We're in very light soil. It's described as sandy loam, but I call it the beach, and it's 300 feet deep of sand. So we actually get to control the nutrient, the moisture, and it's a perfect place for growing Bordeaux varieties. And we had that bias when we bought it and planted it. And when you talk about buying it, you know, initially, the land was for sale for $2,250 an acre. And I offered them $1,850, and they didn't even counter it. So, they'll come around. So almost 2 years later, it was $4,000, and we managed to negotiate at $3,750 an acre. Today, you can't buy anything on that bench for growing grapes for raw land for less than probably $110,000 an acre, and they're selling for up to $200,000 producing.
He's Harry McWaters. He is releasing his new wines called Time, Time Estate Winery. There is a white Meritage, a red Meritage, and a smashing Chardonnay that you want to keep an eye out for. Were you surprised that the name was available?
I was surprised, but
I was shocked.
I'm actually very pleased that it was available. We're having a lot of fun with it, as you know. I think that they realize that time today is really very much our currency, and these wines are about time and place.
Well, there's a whole thought process when you look on your labels and you've timestamped it 2011, 2012. That's a moment in time.
It is a moment in time. We're going to put a time capsule, or several time capsules built into the winery, and we think that it's really important to reflect on the time that's passed,
but it's more important to look forward to the time spent with friends and family and great occasions to come.
Harry McWaters, Tasting Room Radio at Brix, and it's the release of the first tastings of Time Estate Winery. The whites came from the Sundial?
All of the grapes that we've, all the wines we've made are 100%.
Is it Black Sage?
You know, it's called the Sundial Vineyard. And, and when we named it the Sundial Vineyard, it was because we knew that time was just around the corner. And all of the wines we have produced to date and in the near future will be estate bottled.
And your ace in the hole is that your guy in the vineyard is Richard Cleave.
He's actually pretty good. You know, he's starting to know what he's doing. And I got to have the utmost respect for what he does. He's planted more grapes in this country than anybody else. And I can't think of anybody I'd sooner rely on to produce the best grapes possible so we can make great wine.
So there's a $25 white Meritage, 275 cases, is a blend. Well, I'll let you tell me the blend.
The blend of the white Meritage is 79% Sauvignon Blanc and 21% Semillon, classic Bordeaux varieties. The red Meritage, it's 60% Merlot, 25% Cabernet Sauvignon, and 15% Cabernet Franc. Again, a combination of French and American oak. These wines were aged for a year in barrels.
Time Estate Winery, a new player, well, a new old player in the game, Harry McWaters.
A long time.
But you have to know, if you chase wine, if you want to know about wines, the names of Harry McWaters and Richard Cleave combined together make all of these wines a slam dunk. Last question, Harry. The wine business in Canada, the shipping of wine from province to province, like a real country, how are we doing on that?
Well, we're getting there, and large thanks to you for bringing it to the fore in a lot of people's minds. There's still a lot of places where the provinces are saying that they won't accept that, but, you know, it's certainly been said that I don't know anybody that's ever been charged, and I think that our attitude is if somebody asks us to ship it, we're going to go ahead and ship it.
I'm seeing a lot more people just standing up and saying, we're in the shipping business, we're in the wine business. If they want to come and get us, come and get us.
I've said this more than once, but maybe it'll take wine to unite this country.
Congratulations, and just carry on doing what you're doing.
Thank you. Appreciate you coming.
Harry McWaters, who is the voice in the face of British Columbia and Canadian wines. We're here at Brix for the release of Time Estate Winery. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan.
Welcome to Tasting Room Radio. Celebrating all the great things we love about food and wine.
You and I over the years have talked about other areas. So I always thought that when I went to Ashcroft, I thought, why couldn't we grow wine here? But you took it a little further. You ended up in Lillooet. What, were you just searching, poking, kicking the tires? What were you doing?
No. And first of all, let me just digress for a second. The first Chardonnay, to my knowledge, to be made in British Columbia that was 100% British Columbia grown, we did at Sumac Ridge. From grapes grown in Ashcroft. Unfortunately, 3 years later, they froze out that they didn't get buried that winter. And certainly Ashcroft has got more extreme temperatures than what we do here in Lillooet. So let me tell you that I was approached by the then Minister of Agriculture, Pat Bell, and he said, Harry, you know, we've got some interest happening in the Lillooet area. Would you come over and have a look and give me an opinion whether we should invest some research money there or not. And he coerced me, and finally he said, look, meet me in Vancouver, I'm going to drive you up, and we're going to go and have a look and meet some of our people from the Ministry of Agriculture. And I thought we were going to meet two or three people. And we drove to Chilliwack that night and talked about it and got up bright and early, and we got there. And there was a delegation of about 40 people from the community waiting for me to give them an opinion whether I thought you could grow grapes there or not.
No pressure.
No pressure at all. So anyway, Pat, when he was the minister, and convinced me to go and look and do the research, and I came back very enthusiastic about it.
And what year was this?
It's about 5 years ago now. When we looked at it, the one thing that gave me the encouragement is the price of land was so dramatically less than the South Okanagan, so you can afford to take a little bit more risk. But having said that, you're still taking some risk. So it was about making sure that we thought about the right varieties, the right clones, and making sure that you know, we do not crop heavily. And at this point, we're celebrating today the release of the first wines grown from those vines, but that doesn't mean that we've proven long-term yet.
Yeah.
I think we need to get a decade under our belt to see that.
You talked about 5 years ago with Pat Bell. Look down the road for 5 years. Could we see, in fact, a breakout and this area in and around Lillooet, that whole area, open up to winemaking?
I certainly think so. I'm very confident in what the potential is there, that it's going to be a while before we see the infrastructure build up, and that this could be the start of a reasonable agritourism industry. That there are a number of sites that I've seen along there that I'm very comfortable that properly managed, the right varieties, right clones, could certainly be very productive.
That's why he is Harry McWaters, and that's why there is a vintage consulting. Thank you, Harry. Appreciate this very much. By the way, one more thought. You went to Ottawa to speak to Bill 311 and the changing of the liquor laws from 1928. When you came away, did you feel as though we'd made a statement and that we're heading in the right direction?
Well, first of all, I'm not sure that bill would be before the House if it hadn't been for the attention that you drew to the silliness that we have in this country. But I came away feeling very positive that I believe that the opposition are supportive of the government in this change. And what it really is going to do is get the federal government out of the way on an archaic law to allow provinces to bring some sanity to reasonable consumption or transportation of wine between provinces. I made the closing statement of my testimony, by the way, is that, you know what, we may actually unite this country through wine.
We are at the Fort Barron's Estate Winery Tasting at Cork and Finn. Thank you, Harry McWaters.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Just a reminder that the Cowichan Valley Festival runs August 23rd through 25 and kicks off with a party at the pavilion at Shawnigan Lake. There'll be live music all weekend at Unsworth Vineyards and a long table winemaker's dinner in the winery August 25th. A 5-course menu paired with specially selected wines. Your host for the evening is winemaker Dan Wright. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Canada's number one winery, Road 13. It's time to book your dinner with Backyard Farms and Road 13. Amazing artisan wines with 4-course meals prepared by Chef Chris Van Hooydonk of Backyard Farms. July 27, August 17, September 28, and October the 5th. All the details at road13vineyards.com.
The card says, Vintage Consulting Group, Harry McWaters, and then President. Is that you?
That's me.
We're at Local Lounge and Grill in Summerland. Harry McWaters is our special guest, and we're here for quite a tasting. But let's go back for just a second, Harry, because let's go back. When you left the business, you didn't really leave the business. You just left the day-to-day operations of Sumac and all that that implies, and you started your own Vintage Consulting Group. Tell us about that business and those couple of years.
Okay, well, certainly the transition. For those that don't know, you know, that I started Sumac Ridge. We opened 30 years ago on the 11th of July. So, we've had a wonderful run. When I sold the business, which was actually 5 companies, to Vincor, it included Sumac Ridge, See You Later Ranch, Black Sage Vineyard, Okanagan Estate Distributors, and Custom Estate Bottlers, so there are 5 companies. So, I still owned controlling interests actually in the Black Sage Vineyard, so we did a subdivision of that we have 60 acres there, and as officially we have now changed the name to the Sundial Vineyard, and that'll make a lot more sense as we go forward as far as why we named it that. But Sundial Vineyard is a very special place. It has garnered more awards than any other vineyard in the country. And so I never really left, other than, as you say, the day-to-day operations at Sumac Ridge. I finished, it was 2008, at the last day of April, and on the first day of May, I was on a plane to the Winnipeg Wine Festival, and I've now consulted for more than 20 wineries, different projects from Vancouver Island to Nova Scotia to the Mexican border, and I've had a really interesting few years. But all along, I was planning to do something in the wine business. So in 2007, we actually kept a small amount of fruit, produced a small quantity of 3 varieties that originated from Bordeaux, all from the Black Sage Bench, and we produced the first, what we're going to release officially today, McWaters Meritage. And so that whole concept came from thinking that, you know, I want to still stay, keep my finger in the business. But you may or may not be aware that I actually was responsible for bringing the term Meritage to Canada, making it international. We did that in 1993. And I've always believed that by taking the old world tradition of blending, particularly with Bordeaux varieties, that if you do it properly, it should be a reflection of either your individual philosophy and or the vintage or the origin of the fruit. And it really is, wine is about place. So once we've determined place, it was really what components would be best suited to bring together a wine where each of the individual components has a very interesting characteristic. But when we bring them together in the right proportions, clearly the end result should be greater than the sum of the parts.
He's Harry McWaters. He has a brand new wine out in the market. It's a Meritage. McWaters Meritage. We're at Local in Summerland. All right, there's a lot to chew on there. First of all, the Black Sage Vineyard. The Black Sage Vineyard is legendary. In my mind, it's the one. That is sort of ground zero for me in terms of Okanagan winemaking, because it's you, it's Richard Cleave, it's just that area, right?
Absolutely. And that, you know, Dick has been farming the vineyard for us. Well, he was responsible for making sure we identified it. When we bought the property in 1992, Dick planted over 100 acres there mechanically in 20 days in 1993. That was the largest planting ever to happen in Canada to that point. Now, others have planted more in the same year since then. But Dick has been responsible for all the viticultural program on that dirt since the day we acquired it, and I have total confidence in him. In fact, people say to Dick, so how much intervention do you get? That clearly his direction has always been, you make every decision you think you need to, as long as you're making it in favor of quality.
He's Harry McWaters. We're at Local in Summerland. This is one of the bonuses of actually following the wine business, Harry, because I believe in you, and I absolutely believe in Dick Cleave, and I believe in that plot of land. So anything that comes from that area, I'm going to be interested in. It's going to be special, and so we've come to this day.
Exactly, and you know, I can tell you, when we put the wine together, with the individual components, we started working on the blend, clearly I had a different concept in mind than ever calling it McWaters. My kids intervened, that they had tasted it, and they came to me collectively and said, you know, Dad, about time we had a little chat here, said, why don't you call it McWaters? I said, you know, I have a problem doing that. And they said, well, the reason you said you were doing this was as a legacy. And we were actually looking at calling it Legacy. That name has been used a little bit overused. But clearly it was about a legacy for my kids who have grown up in the business, that Crystal Lee made her first wine when she was 9 years old, and Darren still works in the wine business and has planted a small vineyard. That, I mean, they're very involved. And so this is really about the opportunity going forward. As they said, Dad, we may have to remind you this, but it's actually our name too. And so this is really about legacy. And Crystal Lee said, you know, as a retailer and a restaurateur, there is actually some name recognition. I said, well, there's probably some people that won't buy it because it says that.
Harry McWaters is with me, and we're talking about his McWaters Meritage that comes from the Black Sage Road, now the Sundial Vineyard. Is this just the tip of the iceberg, Harry?
Well, you know, life evolves, and I have some plans in the works that we're working on. We're flirting with the idea of building another winery, and certainly time will tell whether we do that or not. That I will make up my mind, clearly one way or the other, before the end of this calendar year.
So as you're the lead actor, and this is your opening night, do you have any butterflies, any nervousness? You're wondering what people will think?
A few butterflies, but I'm thinking that if I have a glass of wine, that those will settle right down. Of course, you know, when you create something, you're always concerned about what other people think. And, you know, whether it's a chef preparing a meal for you or a winery preparing a wine for you, that they want to hear good things about it. And, you know, and the nice thing is people are always afraid to tell you when they don't like it to your face. They'll tell other people. I actually welcome it. If people don't like this particular wine, I want to hear that from them. And I'd like to hear what their style is, because I'll gladly recommend something else for them.
Why a Meritage, Harry? You had your choice of...
I was the guy that was responsible for bringing Meritage to Canada. And the whole philosophy of Meritage, it started in 1988. It was a group of California winemakers who worked together that were producing big blended wines, this style, things like Insignia and Trilogy. And they were all marketing their individual proprietary brands and said, you know what, we need to band together and talk about this philosophy. And I was very excited about what they were doing. I had followed them. A very good friend of mine was their executive director of their newly formed association. We approached them. They actually turned us down the first time and said, no, by definition, it's an American wine. And this guy's name was Rick. I said, so Rick, do you have a map there? And he says, I do. And I said, you see the big pink part above the United States that you think it was Canada? I bet if you look in there, it says North, somewhere right above America. And I said, we're actually part of North America, and I believe in the philosophy. And one of the things we can do is that my colleagues have already, we've chatted about it, that we can bring it to Canada. We can write it into our VQA standards. So in Canada, you can only make Meritage if it's VQA.
He's Harry McWaters, McWaters Meritage. We're at Local in Summerland. State of the business these days, Canadian Okanagan, what's your gut instinct?
My gut instinct is going to continue to grow. When I reflect back, Sumac Ridge was the first estate wine, first true estate winery in Canada, that producing now wines for over 30 years. They were exclusively from grapes grown literally in their backyard. People thought we were crazy when we started to do that. When you look today, we were the first estate winery. Today, somebody told me yesterday there are 208 wineries in British Columbia. We're now at 11,000 acres of grapes being cultivated in British Columbia. Looking forward, I know the clients that I'm working with, there are more to come in both acres and wineries. I think what that does is that we must think that the guy down the street or, a few miles down the road isn't our competition. The competition comes from another country, and they're as close as your closest retailer. So we must always be conscious. Let's deliver value at every price point.
And finally, it's my favorite subject, obviously, and that is the 1928 Importation of Illegal Liquors Act from Prohibition.
I'm glad to see that you managed to commit, I think, a felony without getting caught. This is an old Prohibition throwback. I can understand every province wanting to protect their own backyard. However, I think that what we have to think about is that as Canadians, that's what we are first. We may be British Columbians first, but the reality is we've got Canadian consumers would like to buy British Columbia wines. I think there's even some people in Alberta that would buy Ontario wines. Yep. Having said that, if we're talking about wines that are 100% Canadian grown, it's just good for Canadian agriculture and for Canadians to discover. We go to some provinces and we watch foreign producers from many countries outselling Canadian product radically. Fortunately, that's not the case in British Columbia. I don't believe that there's a huge economic upside or downside to anybody, but there's certainly an attitude that if we could, for a small producer, if they could sell an extra 50 or 60 cases a year, that has an economic impact. For a major winery, that actually would probably be an inconvenience. It would be a service to their customer. It's not going to make any difference to them economically.
It's nice to have you back in the winemaking business.
Well, I didn't think I actually really left.
Well, you didn't. No, I understand. No, you didn't retire. But, I mean, you're back in the juice business.
And I never really got very far away from it. I just got a little bit quiet about it for a while. And some people were really happy to see me quiet for a little while.
Thank you for your wine.
Thank you. I hope you enjoy it.
And congratulations on Sumac's 30th.
Thank you. That was a great milestone for all the people that worked there over the years. It's tough to go to wineries throughout the valley, or I talk to people and they say, well, do you know so-and-so? And I said, well, sure, they work for us. And they said, we don't have to have a conversation for very long to find out that there was an awful lot of folks that worked with you at one point or another over the last 30 or 40 years.
Harry McWaters, the president of Vintage Consulting and his own winery now, McWaters. At Local in Summerland, I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Canada's number one winery, Road 13. It's time to book your dinner with Backyard Farms in Road 13. Amazing artisan wines with four-course meals prepared by Chef Chris Van Hooydonk of Backyard Farms. July 27, August 17, September 28, and October the 5th. All the details at road13vineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Bench 1775. Make your plans for August 1st and 2nd as the first annual 97 South Song Sessions take place. The shows will take place at Bench 1775 Winery and Penticton Lakeside Resort and Conference Center. August 1st and 2nd, some of the very best singer-songwriters will gather at Bench 1775. Details at bench1775.com. Welcome back. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. As you follow the timeline of those Harry McWaters interviews, you can see we started in 2007, and then there was 9 and 11 and 13 and on up. And for 12 years, we've been interviewing Harry and Christine Coletta, side by each in some cases, because they seem to go hand in glove. And I have Christine Coletta on the line because, Christine, if you don't mind, Harry's place in the world of Canadian wine and BC wines could use an outside voice besides Harry's or mine. And because you are the co-owner and co-founder of Okanagan Crush Pad Winery in Summerland, he was a great friend of yours, was he not?
He certainly was, yes. I met Harry back in the 80s when I was working in the restaurant industry, and he had such a compelling sales pitch. It was hard to say no to Harry, and I've learned over the years that that was a signature of Harry's, is making sure that he always got a yes.
Somebody made a comment today on the internet about one of Harry's great qualities was that he made room for other voices and other people. He would share what he knew with other people.
Very much so. He was a real team player. And if you look back on the history of VQA, it wasn't Harry alone that drove the initiative. There were a large group of people, but Harry was the glue. He was the component that brought everyone together.
It was a bit of a bulldog. He wouldn't let it go, would he?
He definitely wouldn't. I remember one famous dinner where government was proposing changes to policy, and it would have really devastated the industry. Harry got up from the table mid-entree and threw his keys across the table to a deputy minister and walked out the door. And as he was leaving, he said, "You might as well take the keys to the winery now, because what you're proposing will be the end of me."
Huh.
And we all got up from the table and we marched out the door behind Harry. And the beautiful part of that was that we left the government with the bill for dinner. So I always remember that fondly. And it was very signature Harry to just, you know, like take a very firm position and grandstand a little in order to get his point across.
Christine Coletta is on the line from Okanagan Crush Pad, co-founder, co-owner, and a good friend of Harry McWaters, who we are remembering today. Well, always, frankly. Hard to say what the legacy will be. I mean, there's so many, you know, Sumac Ridge, First Estate Winery, First Sparkling Wines, Stellar's J, started in partnership with others, Okanagan Wine Festival, his whole... grab like a dog grabbing a bone to create Meritage wines in British Columbia, in Canada. Founding chair of the BC Wine Institute, BC VQA, Hospitality Foundation. It goes on and on and on. So what
yes,
is that? Is that a combined legacy?
Yes. I mean, there's so many other smaller achievements that Harry had along the way that, you know, just sort of get put into the shadows with some of the big picture and big ticket items that he worked on. Little things like supporting other people and helping people get into the business. And the time he spent with people, I said it the other day, as the founding chair of the Wine Institute, I could call Harry at 5 o'clock in the morning and get him on the phone. And we would talk for hours. And he would say to me, "You're never a bother. Call me anytime." He said, I'm here for you. And he would always end up those conversations where I was asking him for his advice. He would say, "Well, what do you want to do? What would you do?" And when I told him, he said, "Well, then I think that's what you should do." And his famous line to me was, 85% of the time you'll be right, and the other 15 you'll be forgiven for. So he was in essence giving me license to try things, make the odd mistake along the way, but he told me on all fronts he had confidence in me.
Christine Coletta is on the line from Okanagan Crush Pad, co-founder, co-owner, and a good friend of Harry McWaters. Christine, do you have any thoughts on how we remember Harry McWaters for future generations? People who never heard him speak, saw him work a microphone or a room. How do we remember him? Is there something we can name?
Oh, I think there's people putting their heads together right now. I've had so many emails already trying to determine what would be the appropriate legacy for Harry. Obviously, the family needs to be involved in that decision. I know we'll come up with something monumental, definitely.
the one place that a lot of people are going to go through and be see and meet and say goodbye to people as they come and go from the Okanagan would be the airport. And I thought the Harry McWaters Airport would be kind of cool.
Well, Harry was very well known at the Penticton Airport. He was a regular on the earliest flight out, of course, and the last flight in. And the staff all know Harry very well. And I think that might be something that we can work on.
Hmm. He's everywhere, frankly, in the valley, isn't he?
Yes, and I think Harry had a vision for an urban winery, which has now come into establishment as Time, a winery and kitchen in downtown Penticton. Mm-hmm. And I think he really wanted to strike new territory, and he certainly did it. The winery just celebrated their first anniversary. They're making beautiful, delicious wines, both under that label, the McWaters label, and also their sister winery, Evolve. So as always, Harry is always looking forward. And typically when you're that person that's out forging new territory and innovating, you're working harder than the rest of us that follow. And so I think he's on to something in terms of the urban setting for a winery. If you think about all of us setting up our industrial plants on beautiful agricultural land, it really doesn't make sense. Yep. And so the next step for all of us is to take that urban winery model and do what they've done in other regions and get off ALR land and go where the people are, which is what Harry's done with this initiative.
Like a Woodinville principle?
Exactly, yes. And so I think he could see that. And he got top dollar for the vineyard. And he's taken that and he's reinvested in a different model, which I think a lot of us are going to find that we follow that model.
Christine Coletta is on the line from Okanagan Crush Pad and a good friend of Harry McWaters. If we ever get around to being smart enough and clever enough and everybody signs off on it, that we have our own Woodinville just outside Vancouver, because many people who come to the West Coast will never get to the Okanagan. But if you could bring the Okanagan to them, that also, I think, should be considered as a McWaters tribute a site.
Well, exactly. And there was a push at one point through the YAP report to allow wineries to have a secondary location, because that is common in other areas.
Right.
And if we could all set up in an area that had close proximity to Vancouver, I was at the Vancouver airport yesterday, and my goodness, the people rolling into Vancouver.
Yep.
Tourism is at an all-time high in the triangle of Victoria, Vancouver, and Whistler. If we can capture some of that as a wine industry, that would be a wonderful thing.
And if every one of those cruise ships that came into the harbor made available as an option, rather than going downtown and shopping, going on a wine trip just outside of the city itself, they'd go by the busload.
They certainly would. And we've seen that model work elsewhere, and it certainly could work here. We just need somebody to champion it. And I think, people like Harry come along once in a lifetime, and Harry wasn't afraid to take on big issues like that and yep. drive it forward. And we need to find our new Harry that's going to help us drive innovation for our industry.
Could a Harry be a Harriet?
Perhaps. Maybe. Yes, definitely. And, you know, it's interesting because someone asked me recently, you know, what were there any issues in the wine industry about gender and equity and equality? And I said, you know, I think because our industry started as family-run businesses involving yeah. husbands, wives, daughters, and sons, there never has been sort of a hierarchy of it being a male-dominated industry. So you're right. It could very well be a Harriet.
Christine Coletta on the line from Okanagan Crush Pad. Last question, Christine, and that is, Harry, in the interviews that we've just finished running, talked all the time about his legacy. And I know he was thinking about his family and leaving the McWaters brand to his family. That's a given. Was there anything else that we can call his legacy?
Well, I think obviously the fact that the wine industry is 250 wineries strong today is in part due to Harry's efforts. Working with other people like George and Trudy Heiss, Adolf Kruger, there was a huge group of people, the Stewart family, that really sort of drove a new vision for BC wine. And Harry was always leading that pack. So I think that for all of us, I think any of us that own a winery, we can thank Harry, because if he hadn't done all that heavy lifting back in the day, I don't know that we'd be here. I know I certainly wouldn't have had the gumption to do what I did at my age if it hadn't been for Harry being behind me saying, you can do this.
Thank you, Christine Coletta. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you, Harry.
Big thanks to Harry.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Bench 1775. Make your plans for August 1st and 2nd as the first annual 97 South Song Sessions take place. The shows will take place at Bench 1775 Winery and Penticton Lakeside Resort and Conference Center. August 1st and 2nd, some of the very best singer-songwriters will gather at Bench 1775. Details at bench1775.com.